Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the Super Mamas podcast. How is everybody doing today?
Everyone's doing amazing.
I hope everybody's doing great. How are you, sister? What's going on? Where are you in the world right now?
I'm having a great time.
Ooh, I love that for you. I love that for you.
And I had the best time talking to Lola today. It was like catching up, and she was really the person who inspired me to speak to my kids in Spanish more. And I loved having her on the show. And yeah, it was awesome. And I'm awesome. And I'm sure you're awesome. And the world is awesome. We're all awesome, sister.
Okay. All right. Well, you were calling the universe for a partner to travel. And I found you a traveling partner, which is Lola. Because I think she's the perfect person to travel with.
She's the perfect wife. Travel wife.
And she always travels by herself with the kid.
I know. She's a freaking brave one. So I'm going to meet her in Portugal, apparently, now.
I mean, you were calling for it. Now it is. Now you have to start making your travel plans.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. No, it's done. I'm going to marry Lola. And we're going to travel the world together with her five children.
I am interested to see that. And like, Amado and Eddie are about the same age. And it's a boy. And it's a boy. And then a Valentina and Agustina.
Yes, a Valentina and Agustina and Amado and Eduardo. Like, it's a match made in heaven.
I love that.
She's going to send me a ring, she said. She says she's going to propose. So I'm waiting for the proposal to arrive.
I love this. This show came in perfect time just before we start planning for our summer vacations or summer trips. So who do we have on the show today? We've talked about it, but who do we have on the show today, sister?
Well, Lola Duck. She's been a friend of the show for years. She's a personal friend of ours. And this was like just catching up with an old girlfriend, which was great. But how blessed are we to think that this is work?
This is work. Can you believe that?
Can you believe that us sitting here talking to friends? What a privilege it is.
Yeah. Well, Lola is a Mexican-American recipe developer, writer, and cooking instructor who loves sharing her culture with the world. Growing up in California and spending summers in Mexico, Lola celebrates her family, Mexican recipes, and vibrant culture through Lola's Cocina. You are going to love this show. If you guys don't know Lola, you're going to love Lola. She gave us all the tips. She gave us all the things. This is some perfect timing before you start prepping your planning with the kids. Take note of all the trips. And I can't wait to see that ring on your finger, Bricia, by Lola, because I want to see those blogs of you traveling together.
100%. It's coming. Lola and Bricia.
Lola and Bricia take over the world with children.
With their five kids.
With their five kids. Okay, so without further ado, here is our episode with your dear friend, Lola Dweck. Welcome to the show, Lola. How are you, amiga?
Doing well. I missed you, ladies.
I know. We missed you, too. It's been a minute. I think the last time you were on the show, you were a mom of one, and that baby was 3 years old. Now, Amado is how old?
He's 10.
Oh, my God, girl. And you have how many kids?
Now I have three, yes.
Jesus. Oh, my God. I can't even believe Amado is 10. But before we get into our conversation again, please tell the Super Mamas who you are, where you're at in the world, who you live with, what you do. Tell us all juicy things, Lola, please.
So my name is Lola Dweck. I'm the writer and creator behind Lola's Cocina, a food and travel blog dedicated to preserving my family's recipes. I live in Highlands Ranch, Colorado right now, which is about 20 minutes from Denver, with my husband, Michael, and our three kids, Amado, who's 10, Valentina is 5, and Diego's 2.
Oh my God, Lola, you have a 5 and a 2-year-old. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I was telling you before that we met and we hanged out when Amado was like little. Then all of a sudden you had Valentina and I was like, oh my God, that's so cute. And then we don't see you for a while online, or we do see you, but all of a sudden you have 3 kids out of nowhere. I was like, what? How did that happen?
I don't really share when I'm pregnant online, so people are usually surprised. Actually, I don't even share when I'm pregnant with my family until I'm pretty much ready to pop.
What do you mean with your family? With all your family?
Well, with Amado, I didn't know I was pregnant until I was already 4 months. And then with Valentina, I just get paranoid about sharing that type of news. So I don't really share until I'm pretty far into my pregnancies. And my family doesn't live near me, so they don't see me as often as, you know, they would if I were in California. So I'm able to kind of hide it until I see them and it's obvious.
What? But you tell your mom and your sisters, no? Or no?
When I'm past 4 months. Yeah.
What? Oh my God. I think I told my family the day after I found out. I was like, everybody get together. I need to tell you. I think we're all told everybody like right away. That's good for you. I couldn't keep that kind of news in.
Paulina's like, I just peed on a stick and it's positive.
Sending all the pictures to everybody. Like, this is it.
Yeah, no. Actually, I learned this when I got with Michael. The Jewish families don't really even have baby showers. They don't give gifts until after the baby's born. And I think it's more out of superstition because just wait till the baby's actually here before celebrating all of that, you know?
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, I guess like that's a tradition. I had no idea. You know us, like the Latinas, we can't keep our mouths shut. We're like, we want to tell everybody.
I know. That's exactly why I couldn't tell my mom till I was further along. Because the minute I hang up, she's already on 3-way calls calling everyone.
No, I do get that. So I'm always been curious, how is life for you with 3 kids? And I think we were talking and I was like, how is it going? I know you were really, I'm not going to say strict, but very into keeping the Spanish with the kids. And I know for us, we've had this conversation, Brisa and I, and like Krista speaks fluent Spanish, but the rest of them, they really don't anymore. And for Brisa, it was the other way around with Agustina. And I've always been like, ¿Cómo está Amado? How's Amado doing?
Amado is doing really, really well. So he and Valentina are both in a bilingual school. And since all of the kids were born, I spoke to them in Spanish from day one. And I think my fear was that Amado would lose it when he went to school. Even if it was a bilingual school, most of the kids who go there speak English, or that he would reject it and would only want to speak English. But no, he's kept it up. And I think it helps that the teachers appreciate that he speaks Spanish. So it kind of gives him a little bit more confidence and makes him proud that he's one of the few Spanish speakers at the school. So he's kept it up. And then when Valentina was born, he spoke to her only in Spanish. So it's just interesting because I know a lot of families that the kids will speak Spanish, but then once they go to school, they drop it. Or amongst the children, they just speak in English, right? But no, they're very good about maintaining. They don't ever speak in English to each other. The only time there's English in our home is when they're communicating with my husband. It makes me so, so happy that they've maintained it. And I do feel that the summers in Mexico where they see a need for the language outside of our home, where they're doing something fun, has helped. We go to the mercados and it's kind of like a confidence booster when I'll give Amado his pesos and I'll give Valentina some pesos and I'll tell him, okay, you go buy the tortillas or you go get the chiles. And you can tell that they're so proud that they're able to communicate in Spanish with the people at the mercado or when they meet friends out there. So I think it's important to maintain it in our home and then also expose them to experiences outside of the home where it's fun for them to speak Spanish.
I love that. And how do you do that? Like, I know that you travel a lot during summers or when you have time off, but like, what are some of the techniques that you use while you're in Colorado? Because I know your family's not even there. Your family's here in California. You live over there. I know we've had these conversations about like community around you. And I don't know what it's like now where you live. I know when we talked a while ago and you didn't have a lot of like speaking Spanish community around you. And I think like for a lot of people, that's the struggle. That there's not a community around them that speaks Spanish. And so how do you preserve that even when you're far?
Here, they get it at school and then at home. Outside of here, I have no control and nobody speaks Spanish in the area where I live. I've been taking my kids to the library to story time since they were babies. And I've been here for 10 years now. And I haven't made a single friend at the library because they hear me speaking only in Spanish to the kids. And I don't know if they assume that I don't speak English or if they just are intimidated to talk to someone who also speaks Spanish, but I really don't care. My job is not to make other people feel comfortable with another language if they don't speak it. It's to maintain the Spanish language among my family and my kids. So I do that. There aren't very many Spanish speaking events, opportunities, but I'm still very strict about them watching anything we watch is in Spanish. If they're watching TV on their own, if they're watching a video, it has to be in Spanish. We usually do family movie nights on Fridays. And if my husband's watching with us, then we'll put something on in English. But thankfully, Netflix, the Disney Channel, they all have a lot of shows that are in multiple languages. And then I continue to read to them in Spanish. The one challenge with Amado is now that he's a really voracious reader, he likes to read quickly and he got really into the Harry Potter books. So he read all of those in English. And then he started rereading them because he liked them. And I ordered them in Spanish. But then he said, no me gusta en español. It's like the Spanish from Spain. And I understand that because if I'm reading something, I'm kind of like, okay, this is how I would say it if it was not in Castilian Spanish. And I'm editing more than I'm reading. So I just said, okay, but we need to figure out which books you can continue to read in Spanish. Because now that he's a strong reader, he prefers English. And Valentina's just learning to read. And she's told me that she finds reading in Spanish easier because phonetically it's easier to just pronounce the vowels and they don't change as much as they do in English. But we still, as a family, will read books together in Spanish. And I figured if Amado's going to be reading books in English, I'm at least going to get him authors that are Latino authors because he was so into Harry Potter and that's cool. But I want him to read something that's culturally relevant to him as well. So I ordered him The City of the Beasts by Isabel Allende. And it's a trilogy that she wrote for her three grandchildren. And I was praying that he would like it. And I said, okay, let's read it together. I'll listen to it because I listen to my books and you can read it and we'll see who finishes faster. And I think it was more because of the competition that it motivated him. But then he got really into it and he asked if I would order him the next book. I'm like, okay, even if it's English, at least it's culturally relevant to him because she's a Latina author. And then I said, which series do you think you like more, Harry Potter or Isabel Allende's? And he said, I like these more. I'm like, it's because you can relate to the culture. That's why. We're not sorcerers and wizards flying around like Harry Potter.
Well, speak for yourself, Lola.
I don't know.
Speak for yourself, girl.
I'm not, at least.
I'm definitely a wizard flying around, 100%.
I really love those tips that you're giving because I'm having trouble with my six-year-old. I think for her, it's easier to read in English.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It gets confusing for her. And I don't know. I'm not a teacher. My patience when it comes to teaching is like, I'm not saying that I'm not patient. I just don't really know how to teach to little kids. So whenever we are trying to read in English and then she starts reading the letters in Spanish, but then when we go to Spanish, she reads them in English and it's like, oh my God, so confusing for me. And like, I don't even know how to explain that to her. I don't even know how to do the difference. And even though I've YouTubed that, I've done all of that, I'm like, no, I don't really know how to explain to her the difference on how to pronounce in English and in Spanish. And I think that's a really big challenge that once you get to school age with kids and they start talking to their friends and start doing that, that it just becomes difficult as a parent. And some of us, we just give up. So I commend you for just continuing that.
Well, I think even if you're not reading and writing and teaching them, I'm the same way. I'm not a teacher. I don't have the patience or the knowledge to teach. But Amado was the same way. And I remember where he was a stronger reader in Spanish. But because they're in a bilingual school, the teachers are the ones who are actually differentiating between the pronunciation and the reading in English and Spanish. So they catch up eventually. I didn't really have anything to do with Amado's ability to change from Spanish to English and be strong in both. It was more the teachers, but I continued to read to them in Spanish just to support that. I think the most important, even if they're not in a bilingual school, is to continue the Spanish at home. And I feel that it's hard to make the transition. But Isi, I know you, with the baby, you speak in Spanish and it's probably natural because you started it from day one. I think for a lot of moms, it's hard if they've started in English at 2 years old to make that change. But I have a friend born and raised in Coronado, San Diego, not Latina, but she went to the Peace Corps, learned Spanish because she lived in Ecuador for several years. And she had her little girl and she said, oh my gosh, I made the mistake of not starting in Spanish with her, even though I see how important it is to be bilingual. She works in a company where she uses Spanish every day. And I just said, if you're going to do it, you need to start today. And you cannot transition back to English because it's what you're comfortable with already. And oh my gosh, the little girl was probably 2 at the time. I think she's 3 or 3.5. Since then, she's only spoken to her in Spanish and she's speaking in Spanish. And I'm just thinking, wow, if this woman who didn't grow up speaking Spanish at all could do this and teach her child a second language, because people always say, well, I'm not that strong. Neither am I. I don't speak Spanish every day. My parents speak to me in English, or my mom, actually. My dad spoke to us in Spanish till we went to school. Or they'll say, my husband or my partner doesn't speak the language. And what does that have to do with you speaking in Spanish with your child? If you're worried about them feeling uncomfortable, that's not my problem. My husband doesn't feel uncomfortable, thankfully. He loves that I speak to them in Spanish. There's so many excuses that people come up with, and it's like, no, just start. From today, start, and you can still do it, even if they're 5 years old, I feel. So much harder to learn as an adult.
Yeah, definitely.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
And, you know, it's interesting. Does your husband know Spanish? Does he speak Spanish? Does he learn Spanish?
He speaks very little Spanish. And I think he realized that once the kids were correcting them when they were about 1.5 years, that he was going to do more damage in trying to speak to them in Spanish. So he said, let me just focus on English because they're already correcting me and they're babies, you know?
I love that, Lola. And I love what you were saying earlier about like exposing the kids and traveling with them. I know that's one of the things that you blog about, traveling with kids. And that also I wanted to bring you on to give some of the moms some tips on when you're traveling, how to give your kids those experiences. Because you're such an expert on that. You go to Oaxaca, you take your kids here, you take your kids there. Like you're always looking for those kind of experiences. Do you create an itinerary before you go? How do you do your traveling with the kids?
I don't really create an itinerary. The most important part for me is figuring out where I'm going to stay, because when I stay, it's usually for 6 to 8 weeks. So I'll book my accommodations. When Amado was little, I used to put him in a little preschool daycare program out there. And it was one where the local children went, because I feel that when you put them in a program where a bunch of non-Spanish speakers are trying to learn English, even with adults, you see all the language programs they have in Oaxaca for adults. They're exposed to the language during the whole program, but then they get out and they're among the other students who only speak English. So they're only speaking in English, right? So same thing in Oaxaca, I put Amado in that program where he was there from 9 to 5 and only with Spanish speaking teachers and children. I mean, he would come back and he would tell me things in Spanish. I'm like, oh, whoa, I don't even know that word, what he's saying, because he's learned things that I don't even know, right? So I think just full immersion, if possible, is really, really important. And then, yeah, with the itinerary, no, but now ever since COVID, when I travel, I don't put them in any school programs. I just take them to the mercados. We go to classes together. We go visit artesanos together. We visit some of their friends. And because a lot of the trip, I'm traveling by myself with them, not with my husband or anyone who speaks Spanish. It's just full immersion. I'll take them to visit their cousins in Mexico City. And again, they're having fun with them. And there's just an instant connection because they can communicate with their little cousins in the language in Mexico in Spanish. So last time I went to Oaxaca, my mom asked me, what are you going to do? If I go meet you, what are we going to do? And I'm like, Mom, I don't make an itinerary. I rent a car now. I go where I want to go, and just exposing them to shopping in the mercados, or to a cooking class, just the activities. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes I'm meeting with artesanos to place orders, and going to those types of things with me, they're exposed to the language 100% of the trip, which is great. So I don't think people have to overthink and think of camps or programs that they have to put their kids in, because just being in the country, they can get full exposure to the language.
This summer, we are taking the kids. You're taking the kids to Oaxaca too, right, Bricia, this year, this summer?
Yeah, but I'm going to be there just for 1 week. So like, I'm just getting so many ideas just by talking to Lola. Every time I talk to you, I learn so much. And you were the reason why I only spoke Spanish to Agustina. I was like, I need to channel my inner Lola and just do it.
Yeah, so I was curious how that has impacted Eddie's Spanish, because you speak to her. I mean, he's exposed to the Spanish because you're speaking in front of him also, but has that made him a little bit more comfortable speaking Spanish?
Yes, 100%, because now he only speaks to his sister in Spanish, so it's really funny to hear him, and it really has improved. And it's the funniest is when they fight, you know, because his Spanish can get stronger. So it's just interesting when he like starts fighting with her in Spanish. I'm like, oh my God. And it's so funny that she speaks English now. I found that to be the cutest thing ever. And how she goes back and forth and how she can pronounce certain things. Like, she legit sounds like it, like, you're not getting a cell kid. So it's like the cutest thing ever to hear her, like, just say her English. And like, it's so cute to hear her.
I think it's hilarious and so adorable when they make the mistakes. Like yesterday we dropped off Amado and Valentina at school. And then Diego tells me, Mama, Amado está walkando a su clase. I'm like, walkando? Okay, caminando.
That is so cute. And you know what's funny? That even when Agustina is around all the cousins are also speak to her in Spanish. Sixta, who's like, her Spanish is not the strongest, when she's with Agustina, she's like, Agustina, ¿quieres que te lleve aquí? And like, they're so cute, like speaking in Spanish together. Because we tell them, like, Agustina doesn't speak English, so you have to speak to her in Spanish. And it really does make a difference between the kids, you know?
Yeah, it does.
And it's the cutest thing.
Yeah, that's
good. And they do make a bunch of mistakes. But I think it's the cutest thing. So I am also sending my kids to Oaxaca. I'm going to go drop them off, be there for some days, and then I have to come back. They're staying for like 2 more weeks. But same, I'm going to be traveling by myself. And I think as my kids are getting older, it's easier. But like, you have a 10, a 5, and a 2-year-old. What are some of the tips that you give moms that travel on their own?
Yeah, give me all the tips because...
Yes, please.
Now I'm always like looking for a single mom that I can wifey and we can travel together with the kids, because I'm like...
I know, that's what I was thinking. I was going to propose to you after that show, actually, when I heard that.
Oh!
But I feel like you'd be overwhelmed because I have 3 kids and usually people...
Oh, it's the best. Kids. It's better. The more the merrier. The more the merrier.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so one of my big... travel tips is to not overpack, especially because now you can find places that have washing machines, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I travel for long periods of time and I pack all of our stuff in a carry-on, even though I check them, but I still will travel with a carry-on luggage. I pack very, very efficiently.
Just one?
Oh, not one. One for each of us.
Oh, I was like, girl, one carry-on?
No.
Okay. I was like, damn, you're my hero. Got it. So 3 carry-ons.
Yes, a carry-on for each child.
Why do you like a carry-on for each child as opposed to one big luggage? What's the difference?
Because they're easier to put. Like when Diego was 6 months, we went to Portugal and we rented a car. And it's so much easier to put in those tiny cars. Even in Mexico, when I rent a car, it's easier to put small suitcases in the back of a car because
Got
we fill
it.
Up
that
a
makes
car.
Total sense.
Now I have a travel car seat. Well, in Mexico, I use a booster usually, but Diego's little, so I would put him still in like in a small travel car seat. Another thing, I feel like the snacks for the plane are important, especially because you don't really eat on the planes anymore. So that's important. Little activities that don't weigh a lot and that you don't mind just leaving once you leave for the plane are key for me. And with the baby, I do take melatonin just to knock him out when he's too crazy and wired on the plane, when he's overly tired, so that he can rest.
I do that too. A gummy
mm-hmm.
before we leave, and they'll sleep the whole way. They'll wake up refreshed, because sometimes when the kids fall asleep mid-flight, they wake up and they're like cranky, and you do not want to be traveling with cranky kids.
Mm-mm, no.
That is the worst.
Another thing I recommend is in terms of packing for the kids, I like to pack light, and I always take rain boots when I go. I mean, that was probably one of the best things I did on a recent trip that we took to Costa Rica, and Oaxaca is the same. I always, even my own shoes, I know whatever shoes I'm taking are going to get thrashed out there. So I like taking rain boots because they could run wherever they want and you can just wash them down, and a pair of water shoes because kids are rough on their shoes, especially when traveling. And I want something that I can just rinse off when we get home.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, those are great tips, Lola. I really like it. And like what you're saying, find local activities, just get immersed with the local people. I think that's what I got from what you were saying too.
Yeah, don't overplan. Leave time for flexibility. If there's classes that you're interested in, sign up for them. But don't overthink it. Just being immersed in the country is going to be a great cultural experience for the kids.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, amiga, for coming on the show. I know you're really busy with your kids. Tell me about it. I know what it's like. And I would love to connect with you in Oaxaca when you're there. If you're going to be there this summer, I'm going to be there. I'm going to take the girls. And I hope that you and Bricia connect so you guys can take many trips together. Because I think like you're a great person to travel with.
No, thank you. I'll be in Portugal for 5 weeks if anyone wants to come and meet me.
Down. Send me the dates. I'm coming.
Okay. And for the super mamas that don't follow you yet, please tell them where they can find you, where they can find your blog, how can they follow you, where can they get all the tips that you share with us.
lolascocina.com is my website, and then I'm on Lola's Cocina on social media, everything except TikTok. I haven't jumped on that bandwagon. And Lola's Mercadito.
I love it, amiga, and I can't wait to see you again, and I can't wait to have you again soon.
Yes, we'll see you soon. Miss you, girls.
Bye.
Love ya.
Bye. And we are back. That was amazing. Bricia, do you have any tips for us this week before we head out into the world?
Any tips? No, but I'm sharing. I'm getting a new nose ring.
You are?
Yeah.
Another one?
Some tips. Yeah. Go get all the piercings. I know we're talking about bruises. Yeah. I'm going to get 2 holes in one nostril. I'm getting one next to the other. And I'm scared though. Those hurt.
Oh my God.
I was like, no, it hurts.
Jesus, you really lost the fear for all of the needles and the piercings. You've been loving those piercings all over your body.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, my tip this week is pretty simple. You know the flashcards, like the white stock cards, the little flashcards that everybody uses at school? Like I was telling Lola, I have been doing a lot of homework with my kids lately, doing a lot of multiplications, numbers, things. I was like looking on Amazon to like get flashcards for the kids for multiplications. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do them myself. So just go to the 99-cent store, get a package of those like white flashcards, and then just draw them. I've been drawing all of the multiplications for Sabina while she does homework next to me. And that's what we've been using, 99 cents, a marker, and that's all you need. I've been doing ABCs with Sixta. I've been doing 1 through 20s, all these numbers in those little flashcards that cost me 99 cents. So that is my tip this week. Also, I think we can do it in Spanish words, whatever. You can find a bunch of use for that.
Actually, I do have a pick. I found the most comfortable shoes ever.
Are they traveling shoes?
Just like walking shoes.
Because she walks now.
She walks now. Duh.
And runs.
She runs and walks. The Vans Ultra Range, dude, so comfy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Ooh. These are probably one of the best comfy shoes I've had in a very long time. And they're kind of cute, you know?
Ooh, love it. Okay, so there you go. Traveling shoes and how to keep your kids up to date in school. That is all we have for you today. Thank you for joining us. And we can't wait to see you next time.
Bye.
All right, sister. Bye.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at @_supermamas and on Twitter, also at @_supermamas and in el face at supermamas podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline 424-329-3707 and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love and
see you next week,
Supermamas!